Well, good morning. Good morning and greetings from Holland. Yeah, I know. I don't know how I end up in all these places. Well, yesterday was very, very interesting. Oh, right now I am sitting out on the back of a residence of some very good friends, and it happens to be a waterfront place. So I'm looking out over sunrise that happened maybe about 30 minutes ago or so, and it's just beautiful. So the water is there, a couple cold ducks swimming around, very, very nice. Yesterday there was I showed up in Holland about five in the morning, and this is the first time that I've actually been here. And since I showed up on a Sunday, my host wanted to take me to church in the morning. So they took me to a local church. And, you know, part of this whole thing, part of this walk is learning, I guess, how God speaks to us, how God uses us, how he works with us individually, because he puts different things inside of each of us for a reason. And, you know, as we carry out his plan and purpose for each of us, it in the end works together for what he's doing overall. So we have individual roles and responsibilities. But this morning when I was taken to this place, you know, it's interesting because there was my host, one of her brothers, recently, you know, according to him, he just, you know, his eyes were kind of open to Christ about eight months back or so. And, but very spiritually sensitive. And so as we're sitting in this thing, the guy that starts to speak, there was a caution that was in both my spirit and the spirit of this brother. And both of us were, but from that point on, it was, now for him, it was a bit difficult because, you know, he's starting this walk in a real strong way, but sometimes he's just not sure of what it is that he's sensing and experiencing. By God's grace, you know, God's shown me a few things so that I can contextualize, but it's the same spirit it's the same spirit that quickens us and cautions us. And so anyways, I just wanted to go through this passage because, partially for my own sanity. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and on these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. and on the same day was the Sabbath. Okay. Yesterday, when this passage was discussed, I hesitate to say preach, but when it was brought forward to a group and a gathering of people, I don't even want to focus too much on the errors, but maybe offer some clarity here. There is an angel, but this angel is not of God. When he comes, look at the context of everything surrounding him. One, you have people, one man here sitting for 38 years in the hot, sweaty, sticky, dirty environment with a bunch of other sick, impotent, broken folk, hoping and waiting for some random occurrence to take place to scramble over a bunch of other sick, dirty, impotent folk to try to get in, and this is what they're waiting for. This is their whole existence, is to hope for that. And somebody does hit every now and then. Somebody else does win the lottery every now and then. So that's what they wait for. It has an angel, but this angel's out of the pit of hell. Because, one thing too, Psalms 23. Let me flip back to that. Psalms 23. Okay. Almost. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So God leads his people beside the still waters. See, we look for the consistent nature and the character of God. And this is not the consistent nature nor the consistent character of God, what's going on here. Now, take Jesus now coming into this situation. Let's keep going along with this to prove this. Jesus comes along in this situation, finds out what's going on by discussing it with some people, talks to the man and asks him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, I think this is important because there's a lot of people that don't want to be made whole. There's a lot of people that wallow in their brokenness, that wallow in their conditions, that want to stay like that because it gives them a reason for everything else, a reason for their life's failure, a reason for why things haven't worked out, a reason for why God is not, God has failed them, or life has failed them, or their family. It gives them a reason. And there's a lot of people that don't want to be healed. Or it's their profession. They make money off of it. Legitimate question. Do you want out of this? But now this impotent man, he said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." So he, within this situation, I've been hanging out for 38 years, I want out of this. Alright, Jesus saith to him, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. Now, with Jesus, Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." If what was happening with that angel was of God, was what the Father was doing, Jesus would have to take the man and put him in the pool. because that's what the Father would have been doing, and he would have had to do only what he saw the Father doing. But no, Jesus knew that wasn't the Father, so he doesn't do that. He tells him, take up your bed and walk, and sends him in a different direction, sends him in a different way, sends him away from the pool. So, yeah, I mean, there's enough stuff. But, you know, I think one of my problems and my issues with, and there's more in this, but yesterday, you know, when I was there, and I'm at this place, and, you know, the Spirit of God quickens you, and it's what you do, then how do you respond to what he's showing you to do? And, oh, I didn't do what I could have or should have done, you know, which in that situation would have been to question this whole thing publicly, because it was off. See, what happens is, okay, you say, I just on a purely superficial level, when you say that God is troubling this water and keeping all of these people here for almost 40 years for one of these guys waiting to hit, what you're telling people is that's the way that God is. That is what the God that you serve is like. And so, yes, you better be coming back here to this building for the next 40 years. And maybe, if you're lucky, at some point you might be the one to hit the lottery, and you might be, provided that you're willing to scramble over everybody else to get that from God based on your natural efforts and your natural abilities. That's what you tell people God is like. But past that, what you tell them and what you sow into them is the spirit behind your intentions, the spirit behind your behind what's teaching you. Now, Jesus said that you need that he said that the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth when he comes in John 16, and that in 1 John 2, where you need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you. You have that anointing that teaches you, the Spirit of truth teaches you. So but when that's not there, what's teaching people? When that's not present, what are people learning from? Because there's only two kingdoms. And so it's a danger, because it sows into the lives of other people. And then what happens when people get programmed that way is that then becomes part of even their own bondage, where down the line they have to be set free from. See, they're being wrapped up into more bondage. They're being wrapped up into more mental slavery, being tied into the world system more and more, rather than being set free. Jesus, when he came, he set the man free. Jesus, when the man said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled," in verse 7. Yeah, that's right, you have no man. You have no man. He was looking for a man to do this for him, and people are still looking for a man to help them. There is no man. There is only the Father. And you are one in him when you come to him. So, back to the context of the situation. I did speak to the guy afterwards who presented his message, and I talked with him. I took him through the scriptures. And even in taking him through the scriptures, even with the point being brought to him, even to the point where he realized, and he's like, "Yeah, I see it, I, but still in a place," or he's, his point was, "I see where you're coming from." And this is not a battle of opinions. This is not, this is the path of truth. See, I could care less if I'm right. I'm not trying to be right. I am choosing to walk life out with the Father. And whatever he says is what goes. If we are reduced to our own opinions about things, separate from him, well, what is that? What's right for you might be right for me. What's not right for you might not be right for me. Where are we? No, let's seek truth. So when I'm seeking truth, and when truth is being expounded and correction is being offered in love, in a right way, in as gently as possible for somebody like me, no, they don't want it. They do not want it. And then the question is, why? What is so dangerous for them that they would choose to reject truth, choose to say that something from the pit of hell is really from God? Why would they say that? Why would they allow for that? Because in the end, that's the message they want to get across. In the end, that's the message that they choose. In the end, that is what is being guarded to be said from the pulpits, week in and week out. At least those, I mean, I can't say a sweeping generality for everything and everybody, but just within that context of that day when I was there, yeah, that's what it was. So, it's a shame, because there are people being damaged by that. But, you know, there was a point in time for myself where I was in the middle of all of that too. But it takes the spirit of truth that if you continue on the path with him, he will expose it. He will lead and guide you into all truth. So it is an individual walk. But, you know, even as I encouraged my friend that was there, just in looking to trust the way that the Spirit spoke to him at that time, because he was being spoken to, even though he wasn't sure much past just that feeling, that sense, that quickening of the Spirit, what to do with it. But that's enough. See, that's enough to start with, and you just continue to persist. So if your heart is on track with the Father, if you've given him that place, if he's broken you and your eyes are open to him, cool, go with it. And when you encounter the error, you know, confront it as best you can, but keep moving. Don't get caught up in the systems of man. This is not opinion. So anyways, yeah, you know, I'm cautious and mindful for my hosts, because you know, I'm just passing through. I'm only here for 10 days, and they live here, and you know, but also too, I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. And that's a hard thing sometimes, is to say, all right, Lord, you've put certain things inside of me. It's your choice, your design, your plan, purpose. What do I do with them? How do I respond to them? Where do I use them? Because the message of truth so often is not what people want. The reality of Scripture, it's not what people want. I do not understand why, when truth is brought forward, well, okay, I guess, yeah, Satan's blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see. So there is that haze that's over them that they can't see through it to really what's going on. But come on. I mean, work with it. Work with it a little bit. So anyways, so yeah, it's an individual walk. Just because something's said from the pulpit doesn't canonize it, doesn't make it true. You have to test every word that's said, and when you come across error, you know, first of all, don't accept it, don't swallow it, don't believe it just because it's been legitimized by the systems of man. No. The spirit of truth that's inside of me is the one that is my safeguard. No man. Because yesterday, the systems of man approved something that was not God. And not just the one that spoke. Also the several other leaders that I was called to talk to and all of that, but still, they defended the message. wanted to pray for me. Oh gosh, which was really nothing, but actually it was more of a, it was not, it was more of a curse than a blessing, but anyways, nothing gets through because I'm sealed up by the Spirit of God, so no worries there. But realizing that that's, you know, that if white is black, dark is light, if an angel of the enemy is supposedly an angel of God, then what else do you... Anyways, alright. So, point being, you gotta walk this thing out for yourself. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, go with it and trust Him. And watch yourself. So, yeah, just a little morning reflection. it's been an interesting first day. I've now been here 24 hours. Got about 9 more days here before I'm off to the next spot. So, and my greetings for friends checking in from all over the world. I just want to let you know, love you. And I pray that God would bless you abundantly. This day I pray that the Spirit of Truth would open your hearts and minds and eyes more and more and more to see all that God has for all of us, and that we would walk out, that He would give us the will to walk out completely His plan and purpose for us. So God bless you this morning, and I'll catch up with you soon. All right.